I'm Dimae Roberts, stage and studio. Today, another visit to my audio vault from Meteorite's first national series, Legacies, Tales from America, that I produced in 1994. This docuplay is called Because of You, I Learned to Love. Producer Nora Moreno recreated the courtship and the eventual divorce of her Latinx mother and father. Here's the lovely introduction by the late Oregon Symphony conductor, James DePriest.
Everyone knows the elements of a good love story. Boy and girl meet, boy and girl fall in love. They get married and live happily ever after. Most children want to believe that their parents followed this scenario. At least producer Nora Moreno believed the first two elements of the love story. Her parents met, they fell in love, but they didn't live so happily ever after. Moreno is Mexican. Spanish was her first language, and the United States the only home she can remember. She always believed in the romantic courtship of her Mexican father and Puerto Rican mother. And she never understood why her parents never got along. For her, life at home was a tug of war that hasn't ended, even though she tells her parents, "Because of you, I learned to love."
Was it Ma or Dad who said, "If you do something hard, something you're not so sure you can do, if you endure, you build character"?
I would like to sing Piensa en mí, de Agustín Lara. Si tienes un hondo penar, piensa en mí. Si tienes ganas de llorar, piensa en mí.
I always had this romantic notion that my parents were two kindred spirits that found each other, two soulmates brought together by some greater force in a country not their own. And nothing, not culture, not distance, not even family, could keep them apart. They loved music, poetry, the arts, and I thought each other.
Cuando quieras quitarme la vida, no la quiero para nada, para nada me sirve sin ti.
My mother and father met for the first time, face to face, at the Senate Theater in Chicago in 1958. My ma, Carmen Rosa, barely 16, was anxious during the audition. She wanted to impress my dad, Juan Moreno Franco, handsome, sophisticated, and charming. She was auditioning for a talent contest to be broadcast live on my father's show. Ma heard dad on the radio, and Juan, according to ma, was more than a radio announcer. He was an artist.
It was very romantic, you know, looking at the guy who is in charge of this big show and come to you and wink one of his eyes to you. I says, "What's going on here?"
Then what happened?
Well, what happened then was we start talking to each other over the phone, because at that time, you know, you were not allowed to go out and stay late or date anyone. So we talk a lot over the phone, and we got married 6 months after we met.
3 years after my father first arrived in the United States, Carmen, my mother, came to Chicago to be with her parents. They decided to stay in the States after my aunt Cuculu had her first child. Cuculu ran away to get married, and rather than face the embarrassment and talk of a small Puerto Rican town, she decided to start all over in a new country. It wasn't easy for my mother.
I didn't like it. It was like being in a cage after living in an island with the sun shining and sleeping with the doors open and windows. And when I came here and went to that apartment, I feel like I was dead to life. That's how I felt. It was horrible. Can't describe, you know, the sense of distress that I was experiencing at the time. I used to cry every night.
My father, Juan Moreno Franco wasn't happy either. 3 years before my mother arrived, his brother had died in a tragic factory accident. My father's family asked him to help his sister-in-law deal with her husband's loss. That meant leaving his home in Mexico, a fiancé, and a job. Not long after arriving in Chicago, Dad decided he would pursue his real passion, radio. Carefree, a wanderer, a bohemio at heart, my father, Juan Moreno Franco, had ideas. As one of the pioneers in Spanish-language broadcasting, he would expand programming to Latinos, using poetry, music, and jingles to sell his show.
Me acuerdo de uno que decía más o menos, 733, al norte de la Clark, Spanish American food.
There was the jingle, then the commercial, and those types of announcements started bringing in more clients, and that was the hit for the program. I was the one who started the show, and everyone stood by the radio to listen to the opening, and the voice they heard was mine.
Luis Carlos Uribe presenta...
Yo conocí el amor. Fue muy hermoso. Pero en mí fue fugaz y traicionero. Volvió canalla lo que fue glorioso, pero fue un gran amor. Y fue el primero.
Poetry also became part of our family life. My father writes it, recites it, and lives by it. This poem talks about a love he once knew, beautiful but fleeting. A traitor to love, he blemished and made worthless what was once glorious and great, his life in a poem. My mother became attracted to my father through the radio. It was her link, her connection to home so far away. The music was familiar, and the language, too. She felt like an outsider, someone buried alive, looking for something to comfort her. She reached out, turned the dial, and found my dad.
El brindis del bohemio. That's the name of the poem. Beautiful.
Describe it. What does it say?
Well, this poem talks about women, you know, the mother, the mistress, the girlfriend.
En torno de una mesa de cantina, una noche de invierno, regocijadamente departían seis alegres bohemios. Los ecos de sus risas escapaban, y de aquel barrio quieto iban a interrumpir el imponente y profundo silencio.
There was a soldier, there was a bohemio, and there was another guy on this crowd, and they were doing this toast for different women, and the best part was when this bohemio, the toast is for the mother, the one who carried him 9 months, the one who cried with him and took care of him when he was a baby.
Y que del cielo implora que vuelva yo muy pronto a estar con ella. Por mi madre, bohemios, que es dulzura vertida en mi amargura y en esta noche de mi vida, estrella.
A poem of love and bitterness. This inspired my mother to call the station. She asked to speak to the voice who had just recited El Brindis del Bohemio, A phone call later, they arranged to meet. Was it 3 months or 6 months later that they got married? My parents don't even agree. They were caught up in a whirlwind, circumstances dictating decisions, and it was romantic. But for my mother, it was also a way out. Latinos don't let their daughters go out without a chaperone, but mostly they don't let their daughters go out. Punto. Period. End of discussion. So for Carmen Rosa, marriage was an adventure that would take her away from home. My grandfather, Don Tito, Mom's dad, was planning to marry her to an older man, someone she barely knew. Can I just say this? What incredible pressure for a 16-year-old. Her choices were few. She could marry someone she didn't know and didn't like, or she could marry someone she didn't know but liked. My father. He was running away from the army. As a resident alien, he was required to enlist, but Dad refused to. Instead, he planned to go back to Mexico.
No voy a ir al ejército de los Estados Unidos. No voy a...
I'm not going to the U.S. Army. I'm not going to be obligated. I'll take my trinkets and we'll go back to Mexico. That was my decision. And the next time I saw her, I told her, I'm going to Mexico. If you want to come with me, let's go. She said yes. So I told her to pack. We are leaving the day after tomorrow. And she asked, if we leave then, when do we get married? We can get married tomorrow. It's not a problem. And I delayed the trip to Mexico a few days, and we got married.
I
was over the phone. He called me. He says, I'm leaving to Mexico tomorrow. That's what he told me. You want to be the mother of my children? I says, no. If I leave this house, it's going to be for the front door, not from the back door. So that day he picked me up. We talked to my man. Next day we were married.
I've heard the story a little bit different. I heard that abuela, grandma, didn't want you to get married.
That's right, too.
That she fought with you over that. And mm-hmm. you said to abuela, if you don't sign for me, I'm going with him anyway.
I told her, you know, she have to sign because I wanted to marry him. So if she didn't sign, you know, it's like she's denying me, you know, the right to be with someone that I really like.
So you just like daddy, you didn't love him?
I believe I love him. He didn't love me. That's what I believe.
Memories change with the years. They become faded and confused. A tender moment becomes a cold telephone call. A whirlwind romance, the mistake of a lifetime. I love Mexico City. I remember visiting when I was little and wanting more than anything to live there forever. I went again this summer because I wanted to see my grandmother, Natalia. She was living in a nursing home in Colonia Coyoacán. There's a beautiful patio garden behind the steel-black doors you pass to enter the home. There are lime trees and orange trees and a wall filled with bright green vines blooming with purple flowers. The church bells ring for noon mass. I knew my parents tried living in Mexico, and I wanted to understand from my father's mother what it was like for them. It was here that my parents started their life together, here where it all started falling apart.
Cuando llegaste tú con Juan, que hasta te acuerdas que te sentí que no te quería allí.
When you came with Juan, remember, I didn't want you there because I didn't believe you were married. I thought you were only with Juan, and that's why I slammed the door. But after they showed me the papers from the civil ceremony, then I let you in, and then we went to Guadalajara. And we lived there, you and who else? I don't remember. Oh, well, him too. Oh, and Leonor.
Desde que te conocí, órale, entrale. Amor puro te juré.
As I spend time with my grandmother, I understand so little but see so much. Her memory has faded. She has merged the past with the present. She thinks by talking into a microphone, my mother can hear her. She repeats over and over again, I wanted to see you, Carmen. I thought you were coming. I don't think I'll ever see you again. I wish you had come.
Perdóname. Forgive me for any wrong I may have done you.
My grandmother Natalia does not have a clear conscience. She knows I know. She made it impossible for my mother during her first year as a bride. Ma was an intruder. Grandma didn't know Carmen Rosa Delgado or her family. My parents weren't even married in a church. Who was this woman who claimed to be her son's wife?
Perdóname. Forgive me for any wrong I may have done you.
It didn't take long for my mother's spirit to break. She found herself far from home once more, this time without family, alone. During that first year, Ma, barely 17, pregnant with her first baby, tried to take her own life.
Perdóname. Forgive me.
My grandmother died less than 3 months after I talked to her. I guess at 93 you get a bit tired of life. I can't imagine what it would be like to be tired at 17. From the beginning, Dad exercised full reign over Mom. It was the custom. Dad became her father. It was unbearable. One day, Ma was startled by a picture that my grandmother Natalia kept of my father's former fiancé.
He took a gun when she says that she will marry him, and he took a gun and put a bullet through the picture.
Dead.
Yeah. And this was when I was recently married to him.
Did you ask them why they kept the picture?
No. It was a beautiful girl, you know. But, you know, it attracted my attention because it had this, like a hole in the picture. I said, what happened here? And that's the explanation that I got at the time.
My mother was so convinced that she could love my dad enough to make him forget all the women in his past and present. There was Cristina and Lourdes, Isabel. Those are the ones I know about. Ma thought it wouldn't matter. It did. Dad says Mom knew from the beginning the way he was and denies he ever cheated, at least without encouragement.
Nunca he sido mujeriego. Créamelo. He tenido novias.
I had never been a womanizer. Believe me or don't believe me, I would be disrespectful to any woman. All the women I had sex with, it is because they have asked me. Even your own mother, on her wedding night, asked me to make her a woman.
My dad sounds so convincing. It's as if he wants to persuade himself that what he's saying is true. I find myself wanting to believe him.
Yo recuerdo una canción en donde tu padre hacía toda la parte poética.
This last Father's Day, I woke up really depressed. I was in my father's Mexico, and he was supposed to meet me and didn't show up. So later that day, I went to my cousin Rogelio's house to celebrate with him and his dad. We talked about family and then about my father. I realized how much my cousins appreciated my dad's art.
Para arrancar dos piedras peregrinas, Dios hizo al mundo a las mujeres.
They started to recite a poem they remembered he recorded, and soon they were shuffling through old records and pulled out my dad.
Y no hallando materia luminosa adecuada a tu faz maravillosa, por lo elocuente, expresiva y rara, mordió sus labios de coraje rojos. Después, Dios mismo se arrancó los ojos y con amor los estampó en tu cara.
If my parents had stayed in Mexico, my life would have been so different. I'm not so sure that my parents would have gotten along any better, though. It could have been happier. Could my mother have accepted the unspoken code of women in Mexico? That there can be other women as long as they don't interfere with the family? No.
Yo soy
They broke up, they made up, they broke up the entire time they were married. I remember the day the divorce finally came through. My mother was in tears and my father was his mean self. And though a judge ruled that they were no longer married, it didn't change life at home. 17 years later, my dad still insists my mother was wrong in going through with the final separation.
Yo le digo que fue sin razón y sin motivo. Y cuando le digo que fue sin razón y sin motivo, le estoy diciendo que fue sin razón y sin motivo. Punto.
I tell you it was without reason or motive. And if I tell you it was without reason or motive, that's what it was. Period. Your mother's divorce had no motive except her own.
Yo creo que el motivo fue más bien por parte de ella.
Can I just say that whenever I talk to my mom about what happened between them, inevitably we end up screaming at each other. Mom thinks I side with Dad. That's funny because Dad tells me I only believe what my mother says. Their stories about their love are so different now. I can't imagine getting married the way that they did, or loving as impulsively. It's still a touchy subject for Mom.
Why are you so angry, Mom?
Because you bring stuff in my mind, you know, that I want to get rid of. You know, I live in quiet peace, you know, trying to get that past, you know, over. And it's like you want me to dwell in it.
So you're saying that
your father is not a hero.
He's not a hero, Nora.
He's not.
You think I think he's a hero?
I think so in your mind, yeah. I don't know what kind of hero he is. You don't want to support his children after a divorce. You don't want to support wife. You don't want to do no. He don't want to have no responsibility. Nothing.
Give me, give me, give me. That's how my mother saw my father. That's how she sees him now. He always wanted more than he gave. He was never satisfied with what he had, and he never appreciated the things that made him distinct and different. His talent, his vision, his passion for words. Words that used in anger and bitterness would eventually separate him from the things he claimed he loved. His family, his children, his wife. I appreciate Dad, though, and my mom. When she realized that she wasn't going to get the support that she wanted or needed, she worked long and hard. She had been through enough, and now she was not going to depend on anyone. That drive and determination made her a successful businesswoman. It was their mutual love of ideas, their pride about who they were and where they came from, that gave me a sense of what I could be. Because of them, I am Mexican, both Mexican and Puerto Rican, both my mother and my father. I too love art and music and poetry. But words, whether sung or performed or spoken, are not enough. Actions show more. I asked my dad if he loved my mother when he married her.
¿Tú querías a mi mamá cuando te casaste con ella?
No, a su mamá yo no la quería cuando me casé con ella. Es más, yo no he querido a nadie. A nadie he querido yo.
No, I didn't care for your mother. What's more, I've never cared for anyone. No one.
I feel that's one of my failures, and I don't like to talk about my failures. I wasn't a woman enough to keep a guy who's the father of my children with me.
After more than 35 years, it's finally over. My mother is in love with another man, engaged to be married. I have never seen her this way, giddy, happy, 16 again. I tell my mom I think she's doing the same thing all over again with Nan, her new man. She says marriage is an adventure. I'm still trying to figure out how I feel about it. Sometimes I'm not so sure Mom cares what I think.
And I'm the mother, okay? I'm the mother. I don't have to give you no explanation of any kind because I'm the mother, okay?
But Mom, we care about you, and you're saying that Nan cares more about you than we do.
No, I never say that. No, don't put words in my mouth. I never say that.
Well, the implication is very strongly there.
No, you know what Nan does for me is beautiful. It's different. He cares for me. He's there.
He's different. You are my children. He's something else. He was my boyfriend years ago. Now I lose him now.
No more missed trains for Mom. And even though things have been rough, she hasn't given up on love. And I know one thing for certain. Because of my mother and my father, I learned about love. Passion doesn't know age or culture or country. Love knows no boundaries. It perseveres. I haven't decided yet if the love I've learned from them is healthy, but I know that it's sincere.
I want companionship and someone who cared for me, really cared for me.
Dad cared, Mom. Dad cared. Only no one taught him how to show it. You tried to teach him, and by the time he realized he loved you, it was too late. Your love for him, and in the end, his love for you, showed me how to love. I haven't decided yet if the love I've learned is healthy, but I know that it's sincere. Love hopes. No matter what, love hopes.
Y con locura te amé, mujer.
Because of You, I Learned to Love was produced and narrated by Nora Moreno. Special thanks to Marta Ayala, Oscar Calle, the Latino Theater Company of Chicago, Phonomex Studios, Flawn Williams, and Ken Davis.
Por ti aprendí a querer con todo el fuego.
Legacies, Tales from America, is a Media Rights production. The executive producer is Dee Roberts, associate producer Michael Johnson, and assistant producer Ann Flanagan, with digital mixing and engineering by Joe Waters at the VoiceOver House. I'm James DePriest.
Nora Moreno-Cargi now lives in Boston, Massachusetts, and works for Tufts Health Plan and is president of its foundation. It was a pleasure to work with Nora on this piece, produced in 1994. I hope you enjoyed this visit to my audio archive studio. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts, Stage and Studio.